mic was muted. I will not be muted.
Well, good to see everybody. Man,
what an introduction. Get me over there crying before I start preaching. So, listen, I have a lot of things stirring in my heart, so let's just do this. Because we got a limited time. No. Okay. It's good to see you guys. Let me see the hands of people that never heard me preach before. Wow, that's tempting. That's a lot of people. It's like fresh meat. No, really, it seems like all year, Pastor, I travel every weekend. I'm somewhere every weekend. And it seems like I feel like for the last years I've preached the same thing over and over. People don't say that. I feel that way. But there's some things on my heart, and it might sound like the same thing. But if it comes in my heart every week when I kneel and ask, here's what I've asked the Lord for years. I've knelt during services, and I make it a point to, just for your own conscience, your own heart, I have no need to preach. I'm not drawing my identity out of the fact that I'm up here. It's an honor to be up here. I'm not feeding off of ministry. I don't need to be noticed or recognized. Jesus shed his blood for me. He died on a cross. He raised from the dead. He took the hit to get me free and come and live inside of me. That's, I'm pretty acknowledged. Okay, so that's like pretty awesome. So I really don't need you to say, oh, you're amazing. I think he thinks I'm amazing. He wouldn't have done what he did if I didn't have great potential in him, okay? So I'm pretty secure that way. So I kneel down and I ask the Lord everywhere I travel, you know, I say, Lord, if you face the people that are in this room and they handed you a microphone, what would you say? Let that be the only words that come out of my mouth. Because they have no need to preach. We just want to do his will, right? And we just want to do what he wants us to do. So I do that week after week, and I get up in the same kind of messenger. So I'm kind of preparing you for that. And we'll get it in. I'm not stalling. It's not that I'm waiting to hear something to speak. Here's what I've learned. I'm traveling a lot. I'm around a lot of people. I've been here a lot in the past. And I've learned there's a mentality that's kind of there that we don't notice, that we don't recognize, that I think we think is normal, but I believe God wants to totally change, wipe out. Thanks, John. And he wants us to think for the kingdom. He wants, here's the deal. From the time you and I were born, bear with me, I'm going to get serious and have a family talk with you. From the time you and I were born, we were trained by the fall of man. We were trained by the spirit of the world. Man was born into Adam. The Bible teaches that man was born into Adam and you must be born again. Somehow we made born again a prayer of confession so we go to heaven someday. If you look at Scripture, born again has nothing to do with just reserving your name for heaven someday. It's putting off the old and putting on the new. It's everything changing. Born again is a brand new creature, a brand new creation. See, the thing that motivated me before Christ was what I was trained by apart from Christ. Yeah. And now I have to learn from him. He said, don't call anyone your teacher. You've got one teacher. He's the Christ. Yeah. We've let so much stuff instruct us and teach us and decide who we are. And it's passion in my heart. I can't help it. I'll preach with passion and try to smile at the same time. It's the way God lets me do it. But it's intense stuff because this stuff means everything on how you're going to walk it out to the finish line, the influence and impact you're going to have through your life, the positive impact on people's hearts, the sowing of seeds, the watering of those seeds. All depends on the eye you're looking through in your life. And it is not enough to just go to church, attend church. I'm not being mean right now. It's not enough to... This whole script we saw, this little play, and she came back, Pastor came back and grabbed the little mask and took off. And that and Pastor sprung off of that. And man, it's about getting your eyes completely clear, being born again. Born again. Yeah. Do you get it? Yeah. Born again. And some of that we get taught and retrained along the way, but we have to learn to let Holy Spirit instruct us through the Word to become what we were originally created to be. And I want to talk about that a little bit and how grace will change us. Because what I've learned is, when I'm pastoring for years and I'm in touch with a lot of people call me for stuff and ask me questions, and I've learned that there's a general mentality that if we're not careful, we're using the gospel to survive instead of be changed. We're using the gospel to get through in a better way instead of look like Him in the midst of it all. And if we're not careful, and don't let that be changed by truth, our emotions will never be redefined. Nothing in the way that our motivations, our emotions, our mindsets, there will be nothing to train them or teach them to change and come from a different place called His place. You just feel like you always felt, but you have a confession of Christ. You react like you always reacted, but you have a confession of Christ. You'll be hurt like you were always hurt, but you'll have a confession of Christ. And if we don't understand why He's ruining our life, even then, that hurt will start questioning Him. That hurt will start questioning Him. You'll look at your circumstances instead of taking a good look at who He is in you and why He's in you, and allow that to begin to dominate what you're going through. Amen. To keep in place the power of what He went through your life. See, it's all about your eye being changed. So here's the deal. From the time we were born, from the time we passed through the womb of our mothers, we were born in iniquity, the Bible says, meaning we were born into the fall of man, and the wisdom of the world was our instructor.
Right.
The way that seems right.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, you feel that? It's the way that seems right, but its way leadeth to death, destruction. Come on, if it's at the cost of another, if it's at the expense of another human being, another person's welfare, if your feelings, your attitude, your phrases, your phone call, your conversation is at the expense of another human being, then it's opposite of love. But if yours seems right, and you can find a bunch of people that agree, and they're the people you confide in and talk to, and nothing will change, but we'll do good, church. No, we want to do good love. We want to do good Jesus. The way that seems right to man, God wants to destroy from the body of Christ. I promise you. Just stuff, simple stuff. Man, I'm gonna get on some things here a little bit. You guys all right?
Amen.
Okay, good. I mean, I have my hair like once a year, and it feels like sometimes I come spanking where I go, but I'm not spanking it. This stuff is so important. Like, if we don't get this, we'll lose our impact. We're just trying to get Him to bless us instead of transform us. The fact that He wants to live inside of me is pretty incredible. And if I get to know Him in that way and He becomes real in that way, how do you even put that into words? If I ask around, and it's not everybody in the church that really knows Him, but if you really talk to somebody that knows Him, it's hard to put into words when you become one with Him in knowing. When He's your Father, when His wisdom rules, when His way is the way and there's no other way, and all of a sudden you don't have to work on your integrity and character. It's in you because He's in you and you're one. You're not trying to bite your lip and be good. You don't even know what it's like to be anything but follow Him. Doesn't mean you can't make a mistake, but He's the one that makes you strong in your weakness. There's something about knowing Him that we've got to pursue. But if we don't challenge, I'm learning as I go along. We're always learning and growing. And everybody says, Dan, you have revelation, you have this. And I agree, God's blessed me in an amazing way with some stuff. But I'm really learning in this season of my life that if we, you see the passion in me? If we don't get this topic that I'm talking about, we won't grow to know Him. Because we'll keep getting distracted by this stuff. And He and this and, well, I'm going through this. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, they should have never. Well, and it's tit for tat, way that seems right. Distraction, deception has nothing to do with God. You
can't let what people don't see define what you do see. You have to let the light give you light. In your light, we see light. Are you following me? What's not in your life shouldn't determine what is. Are you guys okay with, are you getting this? Because if we don't get this, we're going to reduce the gospel to bless me, serve me, minister to me, make me feel better. Man, if we keep living by our feelings, bah! They're about as flighty. Till they get redeemed, feelings are okay when they're in God. People say, well, God made me this way. No, you became this way when Adam ate the tree. God didn't make you the way you grew up knowing your emotions. There's a redemption of even your emotions if you look at Scripture. There's a salvation of the soul. There's a all things become new. Come on, all means all. That means mindsets, motives, reason for being. We aren't trying to survive anymore. We're not trying to fit in. We're not trying to be noticed. We're not trying to be accepted. Come on. We found who we are in Him. And He gives us great strength. And from that strength, we live our lives in love. And we're unmovable and unshakable. We're not trying to survive. We're overcomers. We're more than conquerors. That's not just a Sunday scripture. That's the revelation of your day. Because nothing can change this truth. You say, yeah, but everything's going bad in my life. And everything's going another way. And I've been praying for this, 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 and this. And nothing's changing. And then you're changing though. So you reveal that this, this, and this, and this is the idolatry. It's a want. It's not even a need. Your greatest need is to know Him more so you can face this stuff through Him and not just need Him. Because if it's still in your joy, if it's still in your disposition, if it's still in your ability to see clear and look through Him, it's idolatry. We're singing He's Lord, but these things are Lord. Because they're deciding you. They're governing you. Are you guys following me? Look, this is just a family chat. I'm just saying, look, the reason we gather is to stir ourselves up in love and good works. Isn't that why we assemble? We assemble together to cheer each other on and say, hey, we're in this amazing race and we're together. Wow, we all play an amazing part. Pastor Dave said that his brother didn't think he's significant. Are you kidding? He died once for all. He shed blood for all. That's pretty significant. The only reason you feel you're not significant is because you're weighing your value based on things and not Him. So then you're driven in insecurity and you can even go to church and try to find your value other ways and get deceived. You've got to start with Him and finish with Him. He's the author and the finisher. There's nothing in between. You don't take your eyes off of Him. He started this thing and He will wrap it up if you keep your eyes on Him. You guys with me? You say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. That's the problem. You don't know what I'm going through. We don't realize, see, that's the way that seems right. You were trained to feel that way your whole life. To feel sorry for yourself. And then get somebody to sympathize with you. To accommodate the sorrow and assure that you won't change. You'll just be temporarily falsely comforted. Come on, if Jesus ever said you don't know what I'm going through in the midst of His ministry, we're not sitting here filled with His Spirit.
Come on, that's it.
He heals everybody that comes to Him. He heals them all. And they're trying to figure out if He's a demon or not. He does nothing but good, delivers more than we can imagine. We just have a few stories, guys, in the book. John said, the books of the world wouldn't contain, whatever that means. The books of the world wouldn't contain what Jesus did if He'd written them down one by one. Pretty active fella. Why? Because love never fails. Love in action. Man, if one day, if just one day he's sitting on a rock, praying to God and his disciples are sleeping, and he looks over, there they are, sleeping again, bunch of deadbeats. kingdoms on the earth, and they're sleeping. You know, why don't they get it? And these people, God, I don't know how many more I'm going to heal, because they don't seem to appreciate a thing that I'm doing. And you know, I'm just getting a little fed up with the fact that, I mean, we did miracles together. Come on, the dead raised. They've never seen nothing like it. And now they're trying to hash out if I'm a demon possessed. Or... And them Pharisees. Oh, God, I don't even know how we put up with that. That's normal thinking in folks. You know, if they didn't change by now, God, I don't think they're going to change. Mind you, hear what I'm saying? I mean, just hear my heart. If they didn't change by now, I mean, what gives me the faith to know? I don't know if I want to get on that cross. These guys, they're going to stab us in the back. They're two-faced. They're not trustable. And if you hear the Lord, put no trust in no flesh. Put your trust in God, because He's love and nothing ever changes in that arena. Do you know that love takes no account? Oh, no account of a suffered wrong. Not a suffered accident. Not a suffered mistake. A suffered wrong. Love takes no account. Yeah, but that really hurt me. You know why? We don't know Him. We haven't become love. We're not making that our pursuit. We're just trying to get our ducks in a row, our vats full enough to make it to the end. Look, I'm not being mean. I'm being real. The Scriptures teach us this. If we don't love, it proves we don't know Him. It says, he who loves not knows Him not, because He is love. Doesn't say, I'm not being mean. I'm not saying we did anything wrong this morning. No, no, no. Come together. That's worship. Let's keep singing who He is, so who He is overtakes us. But in your own personal heart, and this is where I want to get real with every one of you in here this morning. You are the steward of your heart. You live with you. You live with your conscience. And you alone will stand before Him always. And don't let another thing define who you are outside of Him, or you will be deceived. We've been trained to let everything else matter. We are a product of what we're going through inadvertently, whether we realize it or not. Then when Jesus comes into the picture, He shows us another way, and it happens to be the way. That's why Christians should always be encouraged. Because He's not waking up for His own self. He's waking up for His image. He's waking up for His personality. He's waking up for His disposition. He's waking up to make Him known, period. Did you get it? It's not about who didn't do what. It's what He did that makes you who you are.
That's right.
See, we're gonna sing He's Lord and have these other things in our heart defining us and manipulating us as individuals. And the way that seems right to man gives it permission, and some of our friends understand because they'd feel that way too. And they'd say, they did what? They said what? You're kidding. Well, they should know better. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Oh, honey, come here, let's pray. Holy Spirit's not even in that.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, you think that's spiritual and sensitive and compassion? No, you're empowering some kind of lie. Chop that thing up, and at the same time, show them mercy and understand that you understand how they're feeling that way, but tell them it's a lie, show them why it's a lie, and get them out of that thing so you don't have to hold them like that again. Be honest, if we keep going in that cycle, how effective are we living? What kind of influence and impact are we having if we're always impacted by these things? If Satan ever figures that stuff out, and maybe he already has in some senses, then he's just... Poof, 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 poof. Pastor Rick and I talked this week, and he was telling me about New Life for Girls and the graduation and what he preached, and it was really awesome. And he preached the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what the kingdom of God is? And that Satan only comes to attack the kingdom of God. He doesn't come to attack you personally. He's threatened by the word. He comes for the word's sake. He's afraid of what you're empowered to become through the Spirit of God. If you take that personal, you'll make a big mistake. He's not after you. He's after the potential of God in you. Because God made you for His image, and you're predestined to be conformed to that image. He gave you precious promises that through them you partake of His divine nature. So even though we were trained in the wrong, we were homeschooled in the wrong home. So we came out of darkness into the light. We got sanctified and set apart. That doesn't make us holier than thou. It just steps us into truth so we see clear and become better lovers. Do you get it? Come on. And he said how he taught that and how the, you know, Satan comes and he was sharing that. And I was like, man, that's so good. You have to understand something about the kingdom of God. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where's the righteousness come from? Through the finished work of Christ. We're sprinkled and washed in His blood. We have faith through that sprinkling of blood. We have faith through that righteousness Peter talks about. We see God's judgment towards us. He makes things right. Even though things have been wrong. Thank God He isn't sitting there with the 24 elders crying, asking for support. Guys, I need help. Nobody seems to really care and love me. I show them mercy, and they still go back to the same old things. Dogs returning to the vomit. Pigs back in the wallowing in the mud. I've healed the marriage, and they're still fighting. And I just don't know. I just don't know if I want to bother anymore. Well, no, we can't picture God like that because we paint God a different way through Scripture, but we don't realize He made us in His image. And if you can't see it in His life, don't ever permit it in yours. Why do we separate ourselves? We grew up with that lie. Well, that was Jesus. Yeah, and He's in you, and we're the embodiment of Christ. And as He was sent by the Father, so He sent us. Yeah? Well, that was... Did you ever hear that lie growing up? Well, that was Jesus. Yeah? What are you trying to say? So where's He live? Christ in you. The hope of making God known. It's in Colossians. I read it. It's there. Come on, be honest. Who heard that lie growing up? Well, that was Jesus making the big separation, getting us to only relate to fallen flesh and never releasing faith to be filled with the Spirit and transformed and empowered by God to be what we were created to be, apart from sin, righteousness apart from sin, the kingdom of God seeing me apart from sin, which gives me peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace. Where's peace come from? Knowing I've been made right with God. Peace doesn't come that I have job security. Peace doesn't come because I have a big, sufficient, substantial IRA. Peace comes because I have right standing with God. And if I have right standing with God, it's called covenant. And if I have covenant, I'm not worried about these things. Things are going to work out. I'm going to keep my mind on His business. He'll take care of things necessary. I won't even find myself praying about any of that. We get so distracted trying to get God to give us stuff, praying prayers, quoting promises. We spend a lot of energy of faith for our circumstances instead of our relationship. And we've got to be careful. Or we're going to run in circles and do a lot of church instead of do Him. Because you just come here. And it's a cool place. But you live there. Amen. You work there. You shop there. Yeah. Your major influence is there. Yeah. I just sat on my last plane flight beside a man. He broke in English. He's an Indian fella. And he says, so why you travel? You do business? And I said, well, I guess I do business. Yeah. Father's business. I gotta be doing my father's business. And we got talking and I had fun with it. Hindu man. He says, oh, I'm very interested in what you say about God. He said, I Hindu. I said, okay. He said, I know what you say is real because I feel the power of what you say had come off of you. Why you speak to me. I said, yeah, he's in me. He's a big deal. His name is Jesus. He is Lord. There's y'all feeling all over me right now. Ah! Whoa. He's just that way. So he's talking and we, oh gosh. It's just fun to be sitting on an airplane and have somebody in real life, a Hindu, that we think we have to have a ministry strategy for because he's Hindu. You just need to know Jesus. It's not three lines in a scripture. It's just be real and be genuine. Because if you can't speak out of your relationship, how do you expect to have impact? You're going to be under pressure and you're going to try to produce something instead of be something in that moment. So our time with Him is priceless. Allowing grace in the secret place of our lives to come over us just because we really want to be like Him. It's vital to learn how to get in His presence and just yield to His yeses, yield to His ways, yield to His personality, His motives, and His wisdom, and just say, yes, I am so ready. Thank you for the gospel. And you'd be amazed how grace comes over you and starts making you the very thing you desire without you biting your lip. And all of a sudden, you just start seeing different. And you just start, because if not, we're self-made and we need awards and trophies and Emmys and stuff. Super Christians. No, we have a super Jesus. And if we're willing to yield, He's willing to mold. That's all clay does anyway. Gets in the middle of the hand of the potter because the potter picked it up. I think he picked us up. And it just yields to the flexibility, the pressure, and the craftsmanship of the potter. Just yields. It's all clay. Clay just says, yeah. Man, you better believe it. You're Lord. My life's not my own. Why would I want any other attitude? I didn't learn it from you. So I don't want to feel this way ever again in my life. And I thank you for showing me a higher and eternal way. God, I surrender to you. And ain't nobody watching. You're doing it because you want to. And you're getting alone because you want. And yes, they're way wrong. And yes, they're way out of order. But that doesn't have to give you a bunch of rights that you never had in the first place. You got one right, His image. We've learned how to pick it in the church more than we've learned how to be like Jesus. Forgive me. Small tangent. Take a deep breath. I could see us at Jesus' crucifixion. You know, picketing. Impeach Herod. Take down Pilate. Instead of, oh my goodness, I see what you're doing. You became everything I was so I can become everything you are. Thank you. My mind was saying, oh, you shouldn't have. But now I see, yes, you should have, because I'm much more than I understood. You knew all along who I was. Love compelled you to do this. Thank you for the blood that's pouring out of you. Thank you for the stripes. Thank you for the nails. I give myself to you. He doesn't want you to, oh, poor Jesus, I can't believe they did that to you. He wants you to get it. And go, oh, I see now. My life's worth living. Oh my goodness, there's a higher wisdom. There's a brand new way. This changes everything. You became sin, so I become son. You were cursed. I'm in covenant blessing. Wow! You just sanctified me and called me out of darkness. Thank you. Man, you knew it all along. On my darkest day, Lord, you didn't change your mind. On my rebellious moments of life, you didn't say what a knucklehead. You said he's so much more and he's worth my blood. If he ever sees what I know, we'll change things. That's the gospel. It's not a suffering Savior on Easter. It's sin being cursed in the flesh. So sin has no dominion over you, and the kingdom of God comes on the earth. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the... Oh, not joy in a better job. Go ahead and enjoy that for a moment, but don't let it define you. And if you lose that job and you get trashed and your emotions and mind and fall apart and drag into church to the altar, you just need to rethink how you're thinking. It puzzles me when folks get laid off in the church and they just fall apart. It just teaches me so much. Oh my God, I got laid off. Keep us in prayer. Keep us in prayer. Keep us in prayer. That's our friend. Keep me in prayer. Keep me in prayer. It just proves we're lacking in relationship. So you got laid off. I understand. Yes, I got bills. Do you think God knows all that? Don't reduce relationship to survival mechanisms, then buy a promise book that has to do with getting a new job. That's pretty impersonal. No, you read the paper. You realize what went down. And you go, wow. Lord, what would I do if I didn't know you or have you? I'd be like other men. The way that seemed right to a man would destroy me. I'd be a nervous wreck. Thanks for covenant. Thanks for just the love you have for me. God, I didn't see this coming. But you know all things. You're not shaken by nothing. So why should I stand here and shake? God, I thank you. I'll go knock on some doors. You'll open one. You'll find favor for me in the sight of men. And I thank you. You'll make all things good. And you go home and you tell your wife without a big bah, where it becomes your identity, your saga, your... I'm serious. Sometimes this stuff becomes who we are for seasons. And instead of being the son, you're laid off. How you doing, man? I'm laid off. How you doing, man? Well, I'm going through a lot. So we have more altar ministries and more prayer times. Most of these things aren't even prayer times. They're not even ministry. They're truth that makes you free. You can get hands laid on you 1,000 times. If you don't change your mind, it'll stay the same. You guys all right? Come on, I'm serious. Come on, we've done this in the church. We've become so ministry driven. We wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, it just feels like it's going to be one of those days. Oh man, I got to call Sally for prayer. Sally, hey honey, I just know you're always hooked up, honey. I was just hoping you could just pray me through. I could tell it's going to be one of them days. I'm just not, honey, I can't take. I don't even know where God's grace is in my life because I had one of these last week. And I just can't take it. No, you got to pray for me, Sally. And if Sally's not wise, she'll just pray and find her identity in the fact that she temporarily encouraged you and got you off to work. And then Sally's going to be the prayer warrior in the church. And her phone's always ringing and she's needed. If she's not careful. Rather than, honey, you called me about this last week. Oh, see, I knew I was wearing you out. I just knew I was a problem. Stop. Stop. That isn't even what I'm saying. Listen, I could pray for you, but it's not going to change next week. Have you even communed with God? Have you even lifted your hands and reestablished your heart in why you woke up today? Or have you just been deceived into making this all about you and how you feel and trying to get God to come into that mess? And you know they haven't, or they wouldn't be calling you. Just living by feelings, turning everything into prayer and ministry instead of truth that makes me free. Instead of waking up in the morning and in your flesh, it just feels like my flesh is going, bed. My body's going, no. Who's ever had that reality? And right in the middle of that, you commune with Him and you say, Father, I thank you. Your grace is greater than all the feelings that I encounter. Your grace is greater than what's going on in my body right now. Father, you gave me a job today and I'm done dreading it. And I'm done saying I hate my shift. And I'm done complaining and making it obvious it's about me. And in humility today, God, I'm surrendering and I'm going to receive grace. And even though I've made a bad example at work for a long time and I look like another worker at the place, they're going to see change in me from this day on. And 6 months from now, they'll forget the last six because they'll see something steady in me. And God, I thank you for your faithfulness, your love. Thank you for what you're doing. God, and you just learn to commune with Him and break those lies. You guys okay? Righteousness, peace, and joy in my circumstance. Joy in the Holy Ghost. And the last I checked in with him, which was just like now, he's doing all right. And he always has a response. He always has an answer. Listen, I said this a while ago and I'm wrapping up. I'm doing good, man. I feel wrapped up. Until I start talking again. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Why doesn't love take any account of a suffered wrong? Because love doesn't seek its own. Now watch this thing about growing up in the world and being trained by the lie. We lived our lives at the expense of one another. When you make a phone call and you just demean somebody on the phone and say, well, I don't know, they're just being a jerk. Well, you know how they can be. That's living at the expense of a person. You're stereotyping them based on their performance or lack thereof. And when you're on the phone, instead of covering a multitude of sin with love, you're actually exploiting it and stereotyping them and sowing that into the soul of others. So you're actually robbing them in your own mind and whoever's mind of the beauty of who they are. You're actually living at the expense of that person. You say, well, I just don't talk to so-and-so. I just don't talk to them. Why don't you talk to them? Because they put me through it so many times and I ain't going through it one more time. See, we were taught to react that way. We were taught to do silent treatments. We were taught to have our heart full of animosity. Your whole life you were taught that way. And the kingdom doesn't work that way at all, not even a tiny bit. Or you wouldn't be sitting here filled with God's Spirit. You'd be trying to make up for what you couldn't. Come on. So there's a place for every one of us. I want to invite you to that place, and I promise you that one day you'll stand before God and find that I was telling you the truth when I said this. Every person in this room has access to God's presence through the blood. I don't care if you've been living wretched. I mean, I care. I don't want you to stay living wretched. But it doesn't keep you from change. It doesn't keep you from His love. It doesn't keep you from receiving what's necessary to be transformed. Like there's nobody on the earth just cut off when your heart cries out for change. Would you agree with that, Pastor? There's nobody on the earth cut off. I'm just telling you, I feel in my heart like the Lord is calling us into a deeper place of relationship to where we can know Him more, and He Himself can change the eye we look through and the way we think. Because it's those little foxes that come in and grab that precious fruit from the vine, and it's those little subtle things, that way that seems right, that God wants to destroy. You guys with me? So I've said this for years. I just went to a church and a guy opened up the leaflet of his Bible, the little inner page there, and he said, check this out. And he had the whole thing written down. I say it all the time. I said, I guess I said that sometime. He said, I heard you say that on a CD. I said, whoa, I'm writing this down. And it was very simply this. If what you're thinking and what you're believing doesn't edify, build you up, or increase you in a life-giving, positive way, it cannot be from the Lord. If it's just plaining you out and just whatevering you, it can't be Jesus. He's profuse. He's full of life. He's the God of all hope, and He sees the whole world at once. Come on. When we watch CNN, He knows a lot more. And He's the God of all hope, because He's looking through love. He's looking through destiny. He's got everything in position for us to become what we were created to be, as if man never fell, if we'll just start believing that and make that the goal. So let me show you something real quick. I know it's a little dangerous now. I'm opening up the book, but we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Yeah. First, there's probably somebody, he didn't even open the Bible. Well, if you read yours, you'll know I quoted a lot of yours. In Ephesians 4, Verse 11, he talks about what we call gifts to the body of Christ. They're really, they're callings of grace. They're faucets of grace in the body of Christ. And the reason for these graces on people's lives is to multiply that very revelation in grace. God didn't put those graces in the body of Christ, those giftings and anointings, so that we put them in the center of a 1,000-person conference just to minister to itself all the time. The body. It's to train and equip and multiply that grace so it works effectually in the believers. We've turned the gifts into the people we track down to get our needs met. We got to be very careful. This stuff really wants to change. I promise you, God wants this changed. The giftings in the body of Christ. A lot of the conferences that I've seen take place over the years are centered on the ministry of the people, to minister to the people instead of reproduce the people. When all you do is think about ministering to the people, you keep alive the reason to need ministry. Are you guys following what I'm saying? So here's the reason for these giftings. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And ministry, I asked the Lord about ministry years ago, because ministry, the word ministry, has always troubled me. Back then it did. It doesn't anymore. He said, ministry's simple, Dan. It's just loving people. Just love people.
I said, I can do that. I'm going to do that.
It's for the edifying or encouraging of the body of Christ. Now watch. This is huge. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. He's not talking about faith to get a new car or job. He's talking about the faith. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the... That's what this morning was all about. The knowledge of the Son of God. Why did He do what He did? How's our response? What's it all for? What's it all about? Is it so I get my name in a book called life and one day He comes when a trumpet blows and I'm in the book? Or is it so that old things can pass away and all things can become new and heaven can come inside of me instead of me waiting to go to heaven? And all of a sudden I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind and actually make Jesus known to the Hindu man in the plane, and he can actually feel Jesus coming out of me. I had a lady on a plane shuddering, trembling, because I had two words of knowledge, and she asked if I'm an angel in a man's body, and I said, look at me, honey, right in the eyes. She stared me right in the eyes. I said, Jesus lives in my body and he wants to live in yours. Right, right on the plane. I had a stewardess come, a flight attendant come, and ask the lady beside me to move her seat because I was bothering her. Because she cried so hard the whole flight, she thought I was disrupting. And the girl hooked my arm and laid her head on my shoulder and said, he's not bothering me. She came up, I'm going to move your seat. She's looking over at me with not a happy look. And I was just sitting there thinking, I wonder how this is going to work out. It worked out. Till we come to the unity of what? The faith. The knowledge of the Son of God, and to a complete or perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who has a lot more than getting a need met today. The faith, you'll see it all through the New Testament. Contending for the faith of the gospel. Fight the good fight of faith. The faith. You'll see that phrase all through the New Testament. You know what it is? It's what we became because of Him. Contending for the thing we've become now that He's came. You following? Ephesians 6, the armor that we always put on, and it's a cool Sunday school teaching. People have fun with it and use it and do all the breastplate and the armor and the helmet and all that. But it's for us every day. The finished work of Christ is your armor. It's you not losing sight of who you are now that He came in the face of it all. And letting that be your defense. So that you can take the ball and have some offense. Do you get it? This is why we're here. I'm going to read this one more time. We're going to pray. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor however he wants to. Because there's a time people come to services. It's not wrong to pray for people. I'm not saying ministry's wrong in that sense. There's a time to agree. I just got a phone call this week. We just prayed for somebody with prostate cancer. Just got the call Tuesday. Went back and they can't find the cancer that was there. There's a place to agree and pray. There's a place to say, hey, But man, let's stop doing it because of fear. Let's stop doing it because of a love for our own lives. Let's do it because of the promise of life, destiny, and the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? Where there's courage in our hearts because of Him. See, because I'm going to tell you this straight up. You have no authority over things you fear. You just have prayer promises. And you're quoting them hard because you're so afraid. I'm just telling you, you have no authority where you fear. To be Lord, the word Lord, it's to govern over, to rule, to be in total control, to have total authority over. There's several uses of the word Lord. He's Lord of... Well, He's King of Kings and Lord of... Here's what He's saying in a phrase like that. Everything that I am, I've created them to be through me. That's why you never get proud. Everything that He is, He created you to be through Him. So He gets all the glory, but you make Him known. And if we're just using the gospel to get through the day, we've missed sorely why He hung on that cross and rose from that grave. I'm going to read it one more time. And then Pastor, you can, because there might be somebody, some altar worker, somebody that needs prayer for, you might be here and you might have cancer. And I'm sure there's some people that would love to lay hands on you and say, be gone in Jesus' name. I'm going to read this one more time. The reason, so people call me Pastor Dan and they call me a teacher. So pastor and teacher's on this list. Wow. So I'm in verse 11 apparently. But the reason I'm in verse 11 is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of what it's all about and why. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In verse 14, and no longer tossed like children back and forth, not knowing where we're coming or going.
Right.
Do you get it? So here's the unity of faith to me. Every one of us can leave here today and know why your feet are on the planet. Every one of you can go to bed tonight and understand why you're alive. Wake up in the morning and know why you have another day. I've preached this for years. My buddy Todd says it all the time when he travels. Mercy woke us up today to give us one more day to be like our Father. That's why mercy woke you up. Because you were made for His image. And Jesus came and took the image that we had off so we could get the image again. You following? I want you to do this with me really quick, to stand your feet. I want to pray over you guys. Let's do that in honor of the Lord. And then Pastor, I'll just turn it over. I just want to pray a corporate prayer. Father, I pray that You take every word spoken this morning and every ounce of grace in this room and just begin to impart it in the hearts of folks. And I pray that every single individual would be encouraged today. I pray that every person here would be strengthened. That God would no longer be tossed to and fro, no longer be up and down and all around. And God, even if we go through moments of weakness, which it seems to happen, let us rebound quickly and see through Your eyes and see through truth, God. And let our lives, okay, let our lives always have an impact in some way without us even trying. Let our lives have an impact in some way on the people around us. Without us thinking evangelistic, let our lives be evangelistic. I'm asking for the strength of a changed life to impact a society. Let our lives be changed before You. And obviously they'll be changed before men. Thank You for the grace in this room. Let us run strong, run together, the unity of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.